Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the f*** up.
This is Believe You Me on the Gas Digital Network.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Believe You Me podcast. As you will see from my surroundings, if you are watching on YouTube, and if you're not, if you're listening on audio, I'm home, I'm back. I'm not doing the podcast at 11 o'clock at night, utterly shattered and tired. I'm home, but I am shattered and tired because I'm jet lagged. But enough about me, Luis J. Gomez, how are you?
I'm good, my friend. How are you? I'm excited to have you back. It's always a little frustrating when one of us aren't at home at our home setup, because there's always a little bit of a problem. There's always a little bit of an audio issue. There's always a little bit of an issue with Wi-Fi. So today, I shouldn't even say that, because today we spent 20 minutes trying to set up and it was all fucked up.
We did. But we don't need to tell everybody everything, Luis. My God. I am very so happy to be back. I mean, listen. Of course, I'm very blessed and fortunate to be, you know, flying out to England and filming a movie. That's great. You know, it's really, really good. But it was cold, man. It was so cold. And the set where we were filming was like an old abandoned derelict building. We were deep underground in it. It was just cold and miserable and wet. And then I was trapped in a hotel room because of the COVID the whole time. I was, towards the end, getting very, very lonely, Luis. Very lonely at the weekends. You know, so listen, I'm back and I am bloody happy.
I should apologize preemptively to the audience, because I went to the dentist today and half of my mouth is completely numb. So I feel like I'm speaking out of one side of my mouth.
What did you have done at the dentist?
I'm just getting like cleanings, fucking, which I hate. Hold on.
Yeah, no, listen, that's good. Oral hygiene is key. It's very important, Luis, you know, but why? They shouldn't have to numb you.
No, they're doing deep cleanings. They fucking
scale and polish.
Yeah, dude, they have to do deep cleanings. They go in, they numb my whole mouth. It's a whole fucking thing. I hate my stupid...
Sounds like you had a dirty mouth.
I had a shit mother who didn't teach me to floss or brush twice a day. For my whole childhood, I only brushed once a day because that's what I was told.
Yeah, well, same here, to be honest. My teeth, if you look at my pearly whites, mine are all fake, thanks to some dentist in Beverly Hills who did them all for free, which was a turn up for the bucks. But yeah, same here. I'm not blaming my mom, but I had a lot of fillings when I was younger. And I'm talking about a lot of fillings.
Blame your mom. It's her fault. Who else's fault is it?
Well, it is my mom's fault, but I'm just, you know, let's not talk shit about my parents right into it. You know, you can. Yours are dead. My dad listens to this, okay? They had a very strict dental hygiene routine, okay? There you go. I just ate a lot of chocolate, Luis.
People, the dentist is like the one profession. Like, I walk in and I looked at my dentist in the face today. She's the sweetest woman you'll ever meet. I walked in and I said, I fucking hate you. And then I sat down in the chair. Like, I hate her. I hate her so much.
Yeah, but that's not smart to say. You don't want to walk up to a person that can literally inflict pain on you and start the conversation with, I hate you. First of all, she's doing a job. It's a service that you require. You're going to her. You're paying her money. You don't need to tell her that you hate her. What you should be saying is, wow, thanks to you, because of all the years you spent at dental school, you can now clean my teeth and give me a service which I require. But you are going to begrudge her for giving you what you need. Luis, you need to reassess your life.
It's the only doctor that, like, it doesn't, I know it's absolutely necessary. And I think that bad teeth and bad oral hygiene is connected to like a lot of other diseases, like heart disease and things like that. There've been connections, but it's the only one that just fucking, like, any other doctor, you're like, all right, I'm here to be helped. They're here to heal me. With a dentist, it feels like you're just there for them to go in and fucking drill into your mouth. And the whole time it's just miserable. And God,
well,
I hate it.
You know, if you clean your teeth twice a day, if you flossed, if you stayed away from bad foods and sugary sweets and things like that, Luis, you know, then we wouldn't be having this conversation. Ultimately, you've only got yourself to blame. Okay?
Can I give you my number one gift that I'm buying for people this year. And maybe I'll even buy you one if you play your cards right. Right.
A toothbrush.
No.
An automatic toothbrush, an electric toothbrush.
No.
Flossing machine.
Yes. A water pick.
A water pick?
A water pick.
What the hell's a water pick?
Doggy, it's going to change your life. In fact, I'm ordering
it's
you one right now.
It's not going to change my life. I guarantee you right now. What, some kind of self-flossing system?
No, not self-flossing.
Very often, I'll be honest. I don't floss. I brush twice a day. Flossing, not so much. I got fake teeth, baby boy. You can't stain these. My teeth are impenetrable. They've got better defense than Mike Tyson in his prime. The defense is impenetrable. My style is amazing, whatever that whole speech was. I don't need your fucking water pick, okay? Shove it up your ass. You give me a water pick for Christmas, this podcast is over.
You are going to love the water pick. Here's the problem. Once you water pick, you're never going back. I can't go to bed without water picking now. This is
not an ad read for water picks, ladies and gentlemen.
I don't even know if water pick is a brand or it's a type of thing. Like, I'm buying you one. Look, it shoots little streams of water in between your teeth. So you just sort of like go against your gum line and
that with your saliva and your tongue. I'm doing it right now. I'm shooting water between my teeth. It's gross, but I'm doing it.
It's not the same thing. It's crazy high water pressure. And now I feel anytime I don't do it before I go to bed, I can feel the stuff in between my teeth. So maybe I shouldn't get you one because it's going to drive you crazy.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, listen, sounds amazing. Sounds great. I don't need one, but please send me one. Give it a try.
Maybe you literally need one. You said you never floss. The water pick was...
Okay. Don't take everything. If you listen to this podcast, don't take literally what I say. I don't floss every night. Okay, I floss. I have access to floss.
When's the last time you flossed?
You'll see a thing of floss. Okay, I just don't do it every day. Okay, I have flossed. I'm aware of the phenomenon of flossing.
Hey, you know my dentist that I hate? You know what she told me?
What'd she say?
Flossing is more important than brushing.
Get fucked. She's a liar. I hate that bitch as well. Fuck that bitch. Okay, I hope she burns in hell. What's her name? I'm gonna Google it right now. She does not know.
She's hot.
She's a good dentist.
She's smoking hot, and I'm so self-conscious when I like open my mouth for her. I'm just like, God damn it. I wish I had like an old.
Isn't that the worst thing when you're like that and they're going to peer into your mouth and you're like, you're worried about your breath or whatever you've eaten that day. And I don't know, like you go to the dentist, you always clean your teeth first, don't you? Like that's going to make any difference. Like,
not me.
A dirty bastard.
I eat chocolate chip cookies. I eat a chocolate chip cookie right before I walk in. I was like, deal with that, bitch.
Yeah. Well, that's not nice. They're just trying to do the job. Anyway, we're not here. You just threw that on us. Well, you seem like you're talking fine to me, Louis. You sound fine.
Well, good. I wanted to make sure. I'm a little bit self-conscious about it, but I'm very, very happy to have you back, Mr. Bisping. Christmas season is upon us. Fights this past weekend. Lots to talk about today. What do we want to go with?
So much to talk about. Obviously, in the world of mixed martial arts, I'm just looking at the notes that Harrington sent. There's a lot going on. We got Marvin the Dream Vittori joining us shortly. He had a big win at the weekend over Jack Hermanson. Very, very good fight. Caught up with that this morning. Obviously, I was flying back from England. So I watched that this morning. Great fight. They're very, very busy, high output in that one. So we're going to have Marvin on in a little bit. We'll talk about some of the other UFC action. Where do you want to start? Oh, I guess we're going to start with this because I'm seeing it all over the news this morning when I turned the TV on. I'm seeing it all over Twitter and Instagram and all the rest of it. Floyd Money Mayweather, as we know, is fighting. Is it Logan Paul? I always get them mixed up.
Logan.
Yeah, yes. That's what I thought. So Logan Paul. He's fighting Logan Paul. Oh, God. I don't know what to make of it. I mean, listen, good for them. They want to make money. Fantastic. But are we supposed to care? Are we supposed to give a shit? Are we supposed to get excited?
Good.
And we'll try and get him on, and then I'll let you speak in 1 second. I was going to get Kevin Ioli on. Because Kevin Ioli is a long, long, long time boxing journalist, very respected in the game, works for Yahoo Sports. And he wrote a column last night, or was it this morning? Whatever. And he just went off on it, talking shit about it. Oh, trashing it big time. Yeah. And saying that it's it's setting the tone for the way boxing is headed. And I think Dana White, Harrington, see if you can bring it up. Dana White had a comment about it at the weekend. I think it was something along the lines of, well, no wonder boxing is in the state that it is if this is what they're putting out. I mean
look, it's not a professional boxing match. It's an exhibition, right? And it is very obviously a cash play, and they're going to make a lot of money. They're going to make millions and millions and millions of dollars. And Mayweather, it seems like he doesn't really have much of an interest in fighting real boxers anymore. And that I'm not even hating on it. If Mayweather wants to get up and make $20 million to go knock out Logan Paul, More power to him. God bless his soul. But we can't pretend that this is like a legitimate competitive match. I mean, it's not.
No, it's not a legitimate competitive match. Obviously, Floyd Mayweather is 50-0, right? And he's probably the best boxer of our generation. And then Logan Paul has one professional match on his record,
which he lost.
And that was against KSI, a YouTuber/video gamer, and now a rapper that recently had a number one hit single in the UK. Man of many talents, I was going to say. And then he lost to KSI, but by all accounts, KSI is the man that can do anything. So hold on, I retract that statement. Fucking KSI is the shit.
But no, I got to say, you reminded me of that. Like, it's such a different time, right? Because like now, like the industry is sort of competing with the internet, right? So it used to be before, like a record label would have to put out this big hit song or whatever, but some YouTuber can go and develop the biggest following possible. They can get millions of dollars to go box. They can go put out songs. They can fucking do. I think it's kind of interesting to see the sort of DIY approach that some of these guys are taking, just as a little bit of a side note. But I mean, look, I'm looking at this. I'm like, Bisping, you need to get into the YouTuber fighting game. You need to start. God,
stop it. You sound like my partner from Playland, Jason, because apparently I was tagged on something that Logan Paul said something recently. And he was like, oh my God, you need to jump on this mic. You need to try and fight this guy. I'm like, no, I'm not lowering myself to doing that. But he's like, no, do you know how much money you would make? I'm like, oh, okay. Hold on a minute. What's his Twitter again? Fuck you, Logan Paul. No.
What is there? I mean,
listen, as you said, I want to piggyback what you said, right? I'm not against people making money. Good for them. That's great. And if the YouTubers out there are all going to pay, which incidentally, it's kind of an interesting setup the way they're doing it. They're holding the promotion where the first 1 million pay-per-view buys will go for just $25 a pop with on-the-day pricing at $70. So if you buy it, and that's if you buy it Fight Night. Worth noting that Floyd is 5'8" and 43 years old, weighing in at 147 pounds for his last exhibition bout in Japan, compared to Logan Paul, who is 6'2" and weighed 194 pounds against KSI. And he's just 25 years old. Thank you for that, Harrington. I'm not against people making money. Good for them. And obviously, Logan Paul, you know, he's talking. Last week, he did a tweet, didn't he? He said, I'm not going to retire until I beat Conor McGregor. Right? And it's like, well, what do you mean retire?
Was that Jake?
Oh, that was Jake, was it?
It might have been Jake, yeah.
Well, whatever. One of those little knobheads, okay? Don't correct me on it, right? We got one hard rule. If I say Jake Paul and I mean Logan Paul, if I say Logan Paul when I mean Jake Paul, I don't want corrected, okay?
It's the only rule on the show.
The only rule on the show. I don't give a fuck, right? Which one I'm talking about. One of them is fighting Mayweather. One of them was talking about McGregor. And listen, good for them. Good for them. Go make all your money. But that's why I wanted to get Kevin Ioli on, to get his perspective as a very respected journalist on why he was so against it, you know?
I mean,
I can tell you were going to say something. So
I was going to ask, because you read the article, I was going to say, what was sort of the angle? Why was he so against it?
Well, I was jet lagged. It was the middle of the night and I did read it. I turned my phone on, had it on silent. And whilst Rebecca was snoring. Yeah, that's right. She snores. I read it, but I can't remember the point. It was very, very tired. If you just compare boxing where it's at right now, and there's a lot of great fighters, it's not really pulling in the numbers. But then you get guys like, look, was it last weekend or the weekend before? Tyson and Jones. That was an exhibition, but still, you know.
Do the numbers come out for that, by the way?
Well, right now it's tracked at 1.6 million, which is it's a lot of buys. And I think this Paul and Mayweather, that's going to do tremendous buys. So as I say, I was kind of intrigued to get him on. So maybe we'll get him on Thursday to talk about that.
What do you think would do better? Because it's weird, right? Because on one level, I feel like Tyson and Roy Jones should do better numbers, you know? Because at least it was competitive. That was what was intriguing about it. There was a sort of competitive thing where you go like, oh shit, who's going to win that fight? This is a foregone conclusion. Mayweather, I don't give a fuck. Mayweather, he can have 200 pounds on Mayweather. That's only going to be bad for him. Mayweather's just going to be that much faster than him, that much more technical than him. Him being bigger, I don't think he's going to be able to touch Mayweather. I think that problem, I don't have any interest in seeing that fight. I'll watch it the next day on the internet. Because it's just not competitive. It's not like, oh my God, is Logan going to do it? No, there's no fucking chance Logan Paul even touches Mayweather. And if he does, it's fixed.
Yeah, and listen, you know, apart from that puncher's chance, right? He's a big guy. Oh, he just knocked out Nate Robinson and an NBA failure or whatever. Whatever.
I don't want to correct you. Forget it. Good.
Yeah, whatever. Logan Paul, whatever. One of them. Oh, see what I mean? They're both YouTubers. They both dabble in the fucking sweet science. They're both on YouTube and they both got hair like SpongeBob. I'm sorry that I get them mixed up. Fuck them. Lewis, strike one. I'm telling you, buddy.
I didn't correct you. I said I'm not correcting you.
Yeah, but you kind of that inferred a correction. You know what I mean? You hinted, alluded at a correction. Don't like it. Don't like it.
I know. You hate Michael Bisping hates being corrected on all issues, Paul. Do it. If you ever meet him, you come up to him. Don't even mention the Pauls.
Listen, I know about Logan Paul and I know about Jake Paul. I just get very offended when people correct me on my knowledge of them. Anyway, enough of that. Enough of that. We got a lot of good things to talk about. That was just dominating the news because it's part of pop culture. Mayweather's that guy, the Paul. The Paul.
Are you going to watch it live?
I'm not going to pay for it.
You're going to steal it?
Yes, of course. I'm not paying for it. Simples.
All right, Michael, let's just take a quick second and give a lot of love to Keeps, who I wish we can go back in time because I miss having a head of hair. I was looking at pictures the other day. I used to have a nice, fully long, flowing, curly head of hair. It's gone now. I'm bald, but if you're wondering why Michael Bisping has such nice hair, we got to thank Keeps.
Yes, no, absolutely. Why? Because I've kept my hair. You have lost your hair. I mean, one could say that you were a loser, Lewis. It's not a choice of words that I would use, but here's the facts. 2 out of 3 guys will experience some form of male pattern baldness by the time they're 35 years old. What's the good news? Well, with today's advancements in science, Keeps offered proven treatments that can combat the symptoms of hair loss. Keeps has revolutionized the way men are treated for hair loss. You used to have to go to the doctor's office for your hair loss appointment, walking like some kind of sad. I go, hey, Doc, I think I'm losing a bit of hair. And he's like, what are you talking about? I've got cancer patients to see.
Get out of my office.
Deal with real things. Get out of my office. Well, guess what? You don't need to be embarrassed because now, thanks to Keeps, you can visit a doctor online and get the medication delivered to your house. No more waiting rooms, no more pharmacy checkout lines. Get doctor's attention and discreet drug delivery, all from the privacy of your own home, Lewis.
I love it. I'll tell you right now, Keeps makes it super convenient. Going out and having to do all that stuff is a thing of the past. It comes right to your house. There's really no reason to not try out Keeps.
Well, hold on. I've got a couple of questions for you, Lewis.
Please.
A couple of questions. People listening to this right now are probably saying, but how effective is this? How effective is it, Lewis? Tell them. You haven't used it, but how effective is it?
Let me tell you something, okay? You're probably thinking Keeps is probably 50, 60, ooh, even 70% effective at preventing hair loss.
Rookie numbers.
Guess what? 90% effective at reducing and stopping further hair loss. So the sooner you start using Keeps, the more hair you're going to save.
Stop. I'm sorry to interrupt. How many 5-star reviews does it have? I mean, only sad people would go online and leave a 5-star review unless you're reviewing the Believe You Me podcast. But how many people have reviewed this at 5 stars online?
Michael, how would you feel if I told you there were hundreds of people that have reviewed this with 5 stars online?
I'd say that's really good.
What if I told you it's not hundreds? What if I told you there were thousands of people?
Thousands of people? How many thousands?
Michael, what if I told you there were nearly 100,000 5-star reviews online?
I'd say you're a liar and you need to be taken to the trading standards office immediately because that's got to be bullshit.
I swear to you, Michael, I would not lie, not on the month of Christmas. Maybe any other month I might lie, but not this month. Keeps treatments start at just $10 a month. And plus for a limited time, you get your first month absolutely free. It's a gift from us to you. Happy holidays. All you got to do right now, is go to keeps.com/believe. Keeps.com, KEEPS.com/BELIEVE. And you're going to get your first month of treatment absolutely free. And if you're going to love it, you're going to keep it forever. You're going to keep your hair forever. This is going to be your new thing. If it doesn't work for you, well, you know what? You can be like Luis J. Gomez and be a baldy.
Anyway, there you go. I want to talk about this. Well, I'll say I want to talk about this, but it's definitely a big talking point. Last week, Yoel Romero was making headlines because he was cut from the UFC. And a lot of people were kind of startled by that. And then when pushed about that on Saturday night after the fights at the post-fight press conference, Dana White came out and said, yeah, listen, you know, that's just part of it. In fact, expect up to about 60 fighters also to get cut from the roster And then I think Ariel Helwani came on Twitter and went, oh, my reports are telling me it's more like 80. I'm sure Dana has a bit more knowledge on the situation than Ariel Helwani, but still, whatever. And then today I saw a tweet saying if the Paul, whichever one it was, wants to box somebody his own size that used to be in the UFC, because he's calling out UFC fighters as well, and he wants UFC fighters to come over to boxing and fight him, incidentally, they said, well, there's somebody that weighs your amount that just got released from the UFC. If you want to fight someone, so yeah, if you want to fight someone your own size, Yoel Romero has just been released and he's looking for an opponent. So let's see if you take that one up. But yeah, Yoel gone. Makes sense.
Sweet. What are you thinking? Because you and Yoel have a long history. You didn't like each other. You retired from the sport. You sort of sidestepped all of that like emotion and bullshit. You didn't care. Once you stopped being in line to fight with these guys, it sort of was water under the bridge for you.
Hold on. Never not liked Yoel Romero. In fact, I enjoy him as a personality and as a fighter and things like that. He was just a competitor. You know what I mean? And I was the champ and he was talking shit and things like that. So that happens. I don't, on a person, all right, there was the whole steroid stuff. You know, he had a reason, whatever. Everyone knows my stance on that stuff. But we were just competitors in the same weight class. I've got nothing against the man and I wish him the best. So when I found out that they'd let him go, I mean, it always sucks to hear that. You can never relish in somebody losing their job, but we don't know the circumstances. We don't know if it was a mutual agreement, you know, or perhaps the UFC did cut him. When pushed on it, Dana said, look, listen, he's lost his last three. The man's 44 years old. I'm sure he gets paid handsomely. So you got to factor all these things into it. I think he had four shots at the title, two where he missed weight, two where he actually made weight. Regardless, you know, he was never the champ. They gave him plenty of opportunities. And the reality is he is 44, you know, and he's lost three in a row. So, you know, perhaps the run of Yoel Romero in the UFC, they'd, because let's remember, it is a business as well. They can't just keep giving Yoel Romero fights because, I don't know, is he a big needle mover? I don't think he is. I'm not sure his fights.
That was a low blow. That was a low blow, Michael Bisping. Whoa. I know what you were saying there. He's slick, everyone.
He's definitely a needle mover. I mean, it all depends what kind of needle.
Yoel's also like, he's really good. And it's a weird position to be in when you're that good, because he can sort of like take out these high level contenders, you know, like any given Sunday, he wins any fight, right? Do you think Yoel might be the best UFC fighter to never win a title?
He's certainly one of them. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Certainly. I mean, if you look at the credentials of the guy, you look at the knockout power, the physique on the man as well. He kind of captures the imagination of everybody. It's like, whoa, look at this guy. You know, so he ticks all the boxes. He's fantastic. He's really good. And I like his personality. You know,
he's a fun. Yeah.
Yeah. He just, you know, his command of the English isn't too good, but that even makes him more captivating. So
you know what made me like him?
Say that I disliked him. That wasn't true. We were just competitors and it was my enemy then. So fuck that guy then. But now I'm just a fan, you know? So yeah, no. I wish Yoel nothing but the best.
You know what made me like him? And it made me go, oh shit, Yoel might get it a little bit, right? Because you had the title and you and him had that moment, you know, you did the needle in the butt thing and, you know, my God, I love you, that, right? And then it was sort of like heating up for like a month and there was talk about you and him fighting. And then we were on the radio on Sirius XM when we had our Sirius XM show and he heard it. And our producer was like, Yoel Romero wants to call in right now. And we're like, yeah, have him call in. And he legitimately called it. He didn't speak a lick of English. It was just you guys talking shit in different languages at each other. But it made me go, oh shit, Yoel understands it's his job to sort of create interest. And he was having fun with it. It wasn't, it was sort of surprising. So I had a little bit of I gained respect for Yoel there.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's a shame, you know, but listen, the fact of the matter is, and as I say, who knows, maybe it was a mutual agreement. Maybe he wanted to go try somewhere else. And, you know, he's got a good manager, Malky Kaur, the Kaur brothers, you know, they got a lot of contacts. So who knows, maybe he's going to go make a lot of money somewhere else, but his time in the UFC is done. And that leads me to the news as well, that 60 other people are getting cut. And a lot of people are coming out and, you know, there's always detractors of the UFC. So they say, oh, they're cutting 60 people. What the fuck? Right before Christmas? Well, yeah, that is a shame. But also, it's weird. What?
It's a weird time. I mean, it's just I would have waited.
In the new year, it's like, hey, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. By the way, you've lost your job. Unfortunately, there's never a good time to lose your job. There isn't. And my thoughts and sympathies with them, 100%. But from the UFC's perspective, with the new year on the horizon, the planning for the new year, they have to make these tough decisions. And I don't know what their roster is, but it's got to be pretty inflated right now. Probably around 600 people, you know. So, you know, you've just got to do that now and again. You got to have a call. You got to have a clean out and get rid of some of the people that A, aren't performing, B, aren't worth the value for money, C, are losing fights.
And just also it will create that. I mean, this is the name of the game. Everyone's going to take notice and everyone's going to be like, fuck, my next fight, I got to fight my ass off. So overall, good for the product. You know, it's sad. You never just want to hear about fighters losing their job, losing opportunities to make money, but it's just the absolute nature of the game. Is there anybody that you, any big names that you think could be cut? Yoel size?
Yeah, well, Dana said, you know, there's going to be a lot of names that come out. Harris, just see if you can find any that I know. There's only two I know of right now. And Callum just told me there's Yoel Romero and Rachel Ostovich. Callum just told me about that. Again, Rachel Ostovich, she's lost three in a row. Normally, you know, once upon a time, it was almost guaranteed. If you lost three in a row, you were going to, that's it, you were done. You know, if you lost two, there was a fear that you might be cut. You know what I mean? Because it's for the best guys. You know, Rachel Ostovich, very pretty girl, whatever. She was on The Ultimate Fighter. She couldn't cut the mustard. And I wish her the best. Same with Yoel. You know what I mean? And I'm sure there's going to be many, many more recognizable faces that we know as well, you know. But this is, you know, it's the best proving ground for fighters in the world. And if you can't cut it, unfortunately, you got to go. And sometimes some of these names, as they're getting older as well, it's time for them to go as well. You know, it just is. It's the sad reality of being a professional sportsman. If you can't cut it, I mean, you work all your ass off to get to the NFL. You don't perform in the NFL, whatever team you're on, you're going to get cut. Same with soccer, football, whatever it is. If you're not performing, if you're not good enough, they're not going to keep you around and keep paying your wages. It's sad truth, but that is the reality of the situation.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens. I mean, look, Bellator just might be getting a huge influx of UFC superstars right now. So Bellator 2021 might be looking great, to be honest.
No, maybe, but I doubt it. I doubt it. You know, I mean, I saw a little clip this morning of Josh Thompson again, 4 a.m, wide awake with jet lag. I end up looking at Josh Thompson and Joe McCarthy's podcast. That's how bored I was. Okay, my God. And they were talking about older fighters coming over, and they were saying how the older fighters used to be the older guys that came from UFC, of course, your Musasi's, your whoever, you know, your Tito Ortiz's, etc. They were the marquee guys, but now they're not. Now it's their homegrown talent, you know. So I don't know. Just because you get cut from the UFC doesn't mean that Bellator are going to roll out the red carpet for you. But there's a lot of promotions out there. There really is. And what I like to see, and again, this isn't any it's not exactly inspiring for these people to hear that if they've just lost a job, but I always like it when somebody gets cut from the UFC and they work their way back. You know, because some people might think, okay, well, I had X amount of fights on the regional scene. I made it to the UFC. I had 6-7 fights, whatever, blah, 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 blah. I did it. You know, I made my dream of fighting for the UFC. Now I'm going to go do something else. But when you see them get cut and then go back to the regional scene and make improvements and get better, and then 18 months later, 2 years, whatever it is, they're back in the UFC. When I'm commentating those guys, I always say, I'm fucking impressed by this guy, because they were like, no, this is me. I am a fighter. This is the path that I've chosen, and I'm not giving up yet, because it is easy to give up. But guess what? Quitters never win, Lewis.
Wow. That should be a book, to be honest.
It really
well, was. Well, I mean, who... And Harrington could jump in with this because he's a little fucking nerdy book of knowledge. Who has been really successful that's been cut and then come back? Obviously, Nick Diaz is one, but Nick Diaz, honestly, when he came back, it's not like he was really sick. He didn't really win many fights, but he just had really high level, all, you know, marquee fights, obviously getting paid a lot of money. But who left the UFC and then came back and either went on a title run?
Well, I could tell you one that left, came back, became champion. Are you thinking of who I'm thinking of? You're not, are you, Harrington?
Matt Serra.
Not Matt Serra, but boom, 1 point for Lewis at the back. Harrington, who have you got?
Well, Anthony Smith left for quite some time.
Anthony Smith back. Did not become champion. Shut your mouth. Ooh, anybody else at the back? Oh, go on, Harrington. Go on.
I have one that became champion.
Oh, that's if you're stealing one. My one, go on.
I might be. Fabrizio Verdum.
That is not who I'm thinking of.
Wow, you're right, though. Fabrizio.
Yeah, Fabrizio Verdum. Good one. Robbie Lawler.
Ah, Robbie Lawler.
Robbie Lawler was UFC, God knows what, knocking out people really far back in the day. I'm not sure. I don't know if he got cut or whatever, went to Strikeforce, had a lackluster career, then came back to the UFC and, you know, became champion of the world and looked sensational for a while there. So, yeah, there you go. Anyway, where should we go to next? We've got a lot of stuff to talk about. We haven't even got into the fights yet.
Or you know what? Just as it relates, before we switch gears, let me ask you a question. Who would you like to see that has left the UFC come back?
Oh, God, you're putting me on the spot here.
I mean, I have one right now. I'll say right now. You know him. Paul Daly. Paul Daly was like the biggest, like disappointing. Like, he was such a fucking killer. And then he had that moment where he just let his anger get the best of him. But he punched Josh Koscheck in the head after the bell. Remember, after the fight?
Yeah.
His Koscheck just laid on top of him.
Of course. Yeah. The only problem with that is, though, of course, I would have liked to have seen Paul Daly in the UFC. Paul Daly is now 37 years old. Yeah. You know, and he's still got it. He can still fight, but I'm sure age is always a factor. I'm sure he's declining a little bit because of that. But still, of course, yeah, I'm not going to say I don't want to see Paul Daly. Of course I do. Big up the UK in the house. TJ Dillashaw is back very soon, early next year. Remember, it was almost 2 years ago, the first event on ESPN where TJ Dillashaw lost to Henry Cejudo in the first round pretty quick and then got busted for EPO. And he did an interview last week with Brett Okamoto, and I saw that, and he's talking about he wants an immediate title shot. That's what he's asking for, right, Harrington? Is that what he said?
Yeah, he actually had some pretty unkind words for Piotr Jan. His stance is essentially he beat Jose Aldo for a title. He doesn't consider that the real belt. You know, Henry Cejudo obviously came up, beat Marlon. There was like a lot of questions there. In his mind, he's the last guy to hold a legitimate championship. And he thinks that, you know, Jan should have to defend it against him.
I mean, he does raise an interesting point. Okay. Because Jose Aldo, no disrespect to Jose Aldo, you know, he's a legend of the sport and his name should be spoken, held in revere, you know, revered. His name should be revered. You know, he's a legend, simple as that. But the fact of the matter is the guy's got to retire sometime soon. And his last fight against Piotr Jan, he looked okay for a while, but he got finished, you know, and the losses have been accumulating for Jose Aldo. So it wasn't the prime Jose Aldo. So,
and TJ made a great point as well, which is that Jose has never even had a win in the division. So it is a great point. If he wasn't suspended for steroids, if he wasn't cheating, I would go, yeah, he 100%. If he went off to fucking, you know, study English and, you know, the Orient or whatever he wanted to do, but he got caught cheating. And so in my mind, I'm going, no, you didn't deserve the title really, because you were cheating in order to have the title. So who do you win the title off of?
Dominic Cruz
is probably the
Dominic Cruz beat him. Who did he beat?
He beat Cody Garbrandt, and then
right.
Yeah, that's right. Cody Garbrandt took it off Cruz. He beat. Go ahead, Harrington.
Well, the point I was going to make, that PED suspension was after he was trying to drop down to 125. So there's no, like, there's no proof that he was cheating in 135. Whoa, whoa, it's just whoa, a question
whoa,
of whether.
Whoa, it doesn't matter what weight class you're at, buddy. You're putting EPO in your body and you get caught. Doesn't matter. Oh, whoa, hold on. That was at 125. It wasn't at 135. Doesn't matter.
You took steroids to get smaller. Really?
Yeah, exactly. No. Here's the reality. Okay, I've got mixed emotions on what he's saying. But the reality of the situation is this. He served his time, so to speak, you know? Now, there's an argument. Maybe he should have been banned for life. Maybe he should have had a five-year suspension, whatever it is. But that's not what's at stake here, right? The judgment was sent. The penalty was, set at 2 years suspension, and he's done that, almost done it. It's up real soon. So whatever, he's back, okay? That's not what's open for debate here. The chat is, should he get an immediate title fight on return? I don't think so. I don't think he should be, you know, of course he's one of the best, and there's a very good possibility that TJ could come back and become champion again. Of course. In fact, if you listen to him speak, he says that he's coming back a better version of himself. And if you follow him on Instagram, you see for these last 2 years, he has been training. He's still been in the gym, helping out his teammates and staying sharp and improving skill set wise and physically, according to him. But still, you can't reward a cheat giving him a chance to get back what he just lost on his first time back. At least he's got to win one fight, I would say, to prove himself, you know, and I mean, it's not even about proving himself. It's just not rewarding him with a title fight. Of course, it's not my promotion. I don't make the rules, but you know, at least one fight, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you're saying anything that crazy at all. And to be honest with you, he probably isn't going to get an immediate title shot. If I had to guess, this is just saying that he expects one and that he wants one. I don't, I mean, I couldn't, maybe, I mean, he's a big name. He's a really, really big name. So we'll see what happens, but I think he should have to come back, win a fight clean, test, you know, come out of that. And then, you know, sure, he served his time. You know, we have the rules for a reason. They get, you know, they hand you your suspension, they hand you your fines. You do what you got to do. You go back, you learn your lesson. Believe me, TJ Dillashaw does not want to be off for another 2 years or whatever it would be this time. Okay, he gets caught again, I'm sure it would be a major issue. He probably would get cut from the UFC for life. I don't think they would bring him back if he tested positive again after this next fight. So more than likely, I don't think he's going to. But yeah, it does seem like he's being rewarded.
Devil's advocate.
Devil's avocado.
Devil's avocado. No. And this, I don't know why I'm saying this, because it's like I'm trying to cast doubt, cast a shadow, and I'm not. But one of his training partners, Yair Rodriguez, which we debated as to the reason why he wasn't fighting, that has come out now that it was a USADA violation. And that's one of his teammates. I'm just saying, just throwing it out there. I don't know what that means. I'm just saying. No, I remember we were talking about it last week or the week before. I think it was last week. Yair Rodriguez, Dana said, he's not going to be competing for 6 months. USADA came out and they said, obviously you have an app and you get told when USADA are going to come and test you. He wasn't there on three occasions, and on three occasions, three strikes and you're out, just like me and you with the Logan Paul, Jake Paul situation. Three strikes, Lewis, and you're done. And he's got a 6-month suspension. And he's saying, I wasn't aware of it, this and that. I don't know. Three times. I don't know. He was either very forgetful or he was trying to avoid them, one or the other. I don't know. What do you think? What do you think, Lewis?
Yeah, where there's smoke, there's fire. Most of the time, you know?
We
trust our instincts. Most of the time.
Ariel Helwani came out though and tweeted something. He said it's either that he was hiding because he was on steroids or that he was just very forgetful. He says, and I'm hearing from Yair that it's the later, that he's just very forgetful. I mean, no shit, he's saying that. He's not going to come out and say I was taking steroids. I don't know if he was taking steroids or not. Fact of the matter is, you sign up to these programs, and it's annoying. The USADA situation is a pain in the ass. It really, really fucking is. But if the program's going to work, they have to hold their fighters accountable if you are missing, avoiding, whatever the correct word you want to use is. If you're not present for the test or multiple times in a row, it looks bad. And also, you have to be punished. You know what I'm saying? If they have a program that you sign up and you sign a contract to say you're going to be tested and you are not present for three times, all right, give them the benefit of the doubt. Okay, give them the benefit of the doubt and say, yeah, of course, all right, whatever. It was a mix-up in you know, correspondence or whatever it was. Fact is, you weren't there three times, so you're going to be suspended for 6 months. 6 months will fly by. Seems like yesterday TJ Dillashaw got suspended for 2 years,
yeah,
and he's almost back. So yeah, so there you go.
6 months is almost like, I don't even really count that. I mean, it is a suspension, but most guys only fight a couple times a year. So it's not like that crazy. It's like, oh, I got to take a couple more months off than I would have normally taken off anyway. So yeah, I don't know. Didn't you?
Anyway.
You mentioned Ariel. Do you and Ariel not like each other? What did I see recently? He said something to you on Twitter.
No. Me and Ariel are fine. Then we just fuck around on Twitter a little.
Okay.
Bit. Yeah. No. I like Ariel. He's great. Ariel's awesome.
He took sunshine. He told you to pipe down about something. I forget what it was.
Yeah, but
it was,
yeah,
I was
like, no, what? He just, he's the great Ariel Helwani. He inserts himself into everything. You know, he's like, listen, shut up. Of course, Yair is going to say that. Okay. That's not a revelation. You are not being a journalist by telling everybody, spoke to Yair. And he says that, he just forgot. No, Ariel's awesome. Keep up the good work, Ariel.
All right, Mike, real quick, let's take a break and thank CrossRope for supporting today's show. I really love the CrossRope system. What a cool gift for the holiday season. I'm giving these to everybody in my family, okay? It's not a regular jump rope. CrossRope is a high-quality weighted jump rope. They have different weights, so you attach them to their really cool, high-quality handles. Incredible app, incredible program to track your fitness. It is the most fun you're going to have losing weight at home during this entire winter.
Yeah, well, listen, jump rope workouts are one of the most efficient ways to burn calories, and CrossRope has created an even better jump rope workout experience. CrossRope combines the intense cardio workout of jumping rope, of course, with a full body resistance training workout for the full body, as I just said, in just 30 minutes. Finish 2020 strong. Listen, 2020 has been a crappy year, but start it strong. Find the perfect fitness gift by taking advantage of CrossRope's Black Friday, Cyber Monday best deals of the year, including $50 off the Get Fit Bundle. What is the Get Fit Bundle? You're probably thinking, Lewis, tell them all about the Get Fit Bundle.
So here's the thing, okay? They have the Get Lean Bundle. They have the Get Strong jump rope sets, depending on your goals. But the best value they have is the Get Fit Bundle, which is the best of both worlds. Plus, they include the free app as well to track all of your goals. They give you tons of different workouts. You're never going to get bored. That is the way you got to do it. And we're giving you $50 off, plus a 60-day risk-free money-back guarantee. This means if you're not losing weight in 2 months, send it back. Return it. You don't want it anymore. It's not working.
Well, I'll tell you what. If you do jump rope or skip, as I correctly call it, you will lose weight, okay? It's a very, very good workout. It requires the whole body. It requires mind and body concentration and coordination. You're going to get an excellent burn on your shoulders. You're going to work out the legs. You're going to sweat. You're going to release endorphins. And listen, you know, you don't need to go to a gym. You can do it anywhere in the house. You just need somewhere that's a little bit taller than you. Listen, if you live in your house, you can jump rope there, unless you're like a hobbit or a giant.
Harrington probably cannot jump rope in his house. Let's get real.
Giants can't jump rope in the house. Hobbits can. Short people can. Harrington can. I can. In fact, I've never encountered a house where I couldn't jump rope. So all you got to do is go to crossrope.com/believe. And guess what? For the Get Fit Bundle, we're going to give you $50 off only up until December 10th. As I said before, it's part of the Cyber Monday sale. So you better get your skates on. Also, you will get $50 off the Get Fit package with both light and heavy ropes for a complete workout. You will get $15 off the Get Lean and the Get Strong package for your choice between a focus and cardio or strength. Listen, if you hear that there, they have a variety of different types of workouts with the different handles and the different weighted ropes. And of course, you combine that with the app. It tracks your calories, how hard you're working, all the rest of it. It's basically, you know, it's skipping rope, but it's taken to a whole new level. It's giving you different levels of resistance and a bit of science thrown in, and an app to track your fitness. Lewis, one more time. Tell them the offer.
Right now, crossrope.com/believe, B-E-L-I-E-V-E, in case you didn't graduate high school. crossrope.com/believe, save $50. Go get this for everyone in your family for Christmas. What a great gift. Okay, where were we?
All right, we got Marvin Vettori joining us soon. So we'll wait until he joins us before we talk about his fight. You never saw this one, I'm led to believe, but Jordan Levitt had a win at the weekend. I think it was the first fight on the main card. It was 22 seconds in total. Well, who was his opponent again? I forget. Harrington, what was his name?
I believe it was Matt Wyman.
Oh, sorry. Of course, yeah, Matt Wyman. Pardon me, Matt Wyman. So the fight was 22 seconds long, and he catches a kick or whatever it was, because I didn't see that bit. I only saw the finish of it, but it was 22 seconds long. And then just before he pressed play, see him here, he's got hold of him. And then Matt Wyman, in fact, just press play and watch it. He jumps to guard, boom, slams him down. Now, just do it one more time, because there's a key bit here that Levitt does. Wait for it.
Boom. Oh, I see. He puts his hand on the shoulder, right?
Puts his forearm on his jaw, right? And that was a gangster move. I've never seen that done before. That was really, really good.
So he was trying to knock him out with the slam.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. That was not accidental. You know, there has been slams where people have gone unconscious. There was one just recently, another one. But Frank Shamrock back in the day, Tito Ortiz did it to, I'm not sure who it was. Gray
Matt
Maynard.
Carlos Newton.
Oh, yeah, there's that one. I think Gray Maynard had a fight with somebody once and he slammed him, but he smashed his own head on the canvas and knocked himself out. But I think it was Gray Maynard. If it's not, I apologize.
I think the one you're thinking of is Andrade for the title against Rose, maybe?
Yep.
That is not what I'm thinking of. No, I'm talking about old school UFC with Gray Maynard, not Rose. No, but that was one as well. And they're women, you know. I don't get my genders mixed up, Harrington, not in this day and age. No, but no. So the thing is, if you punch somebody, right, of course you get the body weight behind you, you know, if you throw a good punch, that's what you're trying to do. But that was really good, because he had him held up and then he lets go and he puts the forearm across the jaw and then he falls down. Now there's his body weight, there's Matt Wyman's body weight, and it's all landing on the forearm onto the jaw. And on top of that, because when you get punched, the head goes, right? So that acts like a little bit of a shock absorber, although the movement of the head is partly why you get knocked unconscious. But the fact that the head had nowhere to go with two body weights landing down on top of his jaw, I mean, that was a vicious, vicious move. What wasn't so vicious was the celebration afterwards. In fact, Harrington just pulled that up again one more time. He does the splits. He does a little dirty dancing routine where Patrick Swayze holds up the girl and stuff. I mean, God bless him. God bless him. It was, I mean, you know, very expressive of him. Let's have a look. He's a fruity one.
It's a fruity
I like one. It. No, good for him. We need all these different colorful characters. He's definitely colorful, you know, but that was a beautiful knockout.
Yeah, it was. But you know, it's funny because and I don't think the move should be illegal, but I'm saying if like a 12-6 downward elbow is illegal, that's too dangerous, but you can't put your forearm on somebody's head and smash their whole body into the canvas. I feel like that is like way more dangerous.
Yeah, but that's their fault. You know, I saw Luke Thomas, another journalist. He tweeted something about it, and he said something along the lines of, if that knockout there, the slam of Jordan Levitt, and the knockout of Joaquin Buckley, where his opponent caught the leg, and then he did that beautiful jumping spinning kick. He said, if those two knockouts have taught you anything, it's that holding on to your opponent for too long is going to be bad news. And that is a good point. It is an accurate point. However, if you're getting hold of your opponent, if you're going to hold your opponent in a fight, you have to control them because you have to be the controlling factor. In that situation there, Jordan Levitt was in control. Matt Wyman jumps up and he wraps his legs around, but it's still Jordan that's in control. He can choose to let go. He can choose to slam him down. He can choose to stand on his feet. In this occasion, he took his arm, put it on his jaw and slammed him down. In Joaquin Buckley's case, he threw the kick. His opponent caught his kick, but he's still not being controlled. He's still got two arms. He's still got another leg. If you're going to grab hold of your opponent, you need to be in nice and tight and you have to be fucking controlling them. Okay. Otherwise, don't hang on. Don't hang on for dear life. I mean, what was Matt Wyman hoping to achieve there? No disrespect. You're in the heat of the moment. You just jump up to guard, right? But you're probably going to get slammed down, you know? So, yeah. Hey, well done, Jordan Levitt. Beautiful, beautiful, creative move. Good knockout. And we might see people trying to recreate that one.
Yeah. It was cool. Very cool. I guess he was very concerned about hurting his opponent after the fight. He said it's a shame that he had to hurt someone else in his path to victory, and he seemed genuinely concerned for his opponent, and he was sad that he had to hurt him badly. Yeah. So did you ever feel that? Did you ever feel bad for an opponent after you fought them, Bisping?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, many times, you know, because when you're in the fight, of course you want to win. Right, under any circumstances you want to win, and you've got to have that killer instinct if you're going to be a successful fighter. But afterwards, you don't take glee from seeing somebody beat up really, really bad. I don't, anyway. I remember when I was on The Ultimate Fighter, my first fight on there was against Christian Rothermel. And I beat him relatively easy in the first round. And he was cut open. He had a bunch of cuts, you know. And I remember saying to the cameraman, I said, how did he look afterwards? He said, it was pretty much a mess. I said, what do you mean a mess? Like, can you elaborate? And he thought I was some kind of psycho. He's like, what? You want me to go through every mark that was on his face? I'm like, no, I just want to know.
You're just jerking off. You're like, tell me. Like,
tell me the fruits of my labor. I want to know how many stitches did he have? I'm like, no. Of course you don't take, it's like my old boxing coach, Tony Quigley, used to say, he admires a beautiful knockout. He loves the technique on display when one is delivered, but he doesn't like seeing another man lose consciousness, you know. But of course, it is a combat sport. It is a sport. It is a style. It is a martial art, and it takes extreme flair, technique, style, confidence, power, athleticism to deliver those kind of blows. So it is mind blowing to see, and it is like it's just awesome. You know, a word that gets used too much, but it is awesome to see a man be separated from consciousness. That doesn't mean you like to see that person suffer.
You're just appreciating what it took.
the art on display, you know?
Yeah, well, it's why we love this sport. And it's so funny because you do become desensitized to it, because I remember I ordered the first UFC ever, and it was the big, tall, like, kickboxer. He was like a European kickboxer. He kicked...
Hold on. Not Gan McGee. I know who you're talking about. What was his name?
No.
Demi Schilt.
Was it?
Semi Schilt. Yeah.
Well, he kicked, was the sumo wrestler in the face. And
you're talking about that early.
It was the first UFC, and it was the first match in the first UFC, and he head kicked him, and his teeth flew out of his head. Okay. And it was like, what the fuck is this? It's a moment where even the commentators were like, whoa. And those early UFCs were so brutal. It was jarring. It was like, this doesn't seem safe. And now, I mean, the level of athleticism and the knockouts that we've seen, and just the absolute brutality that we've seen. I mean, there's been certain like cuts on people's heads where it's like a bloodbath, and we're just watching, eating popcorn. Kids are in the room. We're like,
no, I know. Harrison.
Gerard Jourdal.
Yes.
Jourdieu. Oh.
Yep.
Oh. Okay, all right, Gerard Depardieu. All right, crossing over from the acting world. Good for him. All right, let's get into Marvin Vettori. We'll do the co-main event after Marvin. Marvin's going to join us in just a couple of minutes. Okay. Marvin Vettori, the Italian Dream, taking on Jack O'Manson. Jack O'Manson coming off that massive win over Kelvin Gastelum, he actually successfully guillotined, heel hooked him in the first round. O'Manson beat some great people like Jacare, I think. The guy's a solid, solid fighter going up against Marvin Vettori. I think he was a late replacement. Harrington, was he a late replacement? I think by a couple of weeks, I think. Is that correct?
Well, it was actually, I think it was only a week's notice. He was supposed to fight Jacare at UFC 256. Kevin Holland was filling in for Darren Till, who I think pulled out about a month ago. Holland, I believe, came down with COVID-19. He was moved to UFC 256. Vettori took his place this weekend.
Yeah, it's crazy, Harrington, because there's been so many cancellations. You know what I mean? Like, in fact, Saturday's card, which we never even touched on, had three cancellations on the day, you know, and the UFC had to really react. I was just saying, Lewis, we didn't even mention this. On Saturday, UFC had three fights withdrawn from the card day of the fight with COVID, you know. So it's like a game of musical chairs right now, you know. And fair play to the UFC and fair play to the fighters, you know what I'm saying, for saying, okay, I'll take this guy, switching opponents on me. In this modern climate, if you're going to fight, then unfortunately this is the situation. You know, you might have your opponent go, and if you want to fight, you got to take someone new.
It's badass, to be honest with you. You gotta, you know, it's a throwback to the old school UFCs where you didn't know who you were going to fight. And you see the guys that step up, you see the guys that aren't being super protective of their records. And I think Dana and the UFC recognizes that as well. It's very funny because as we debate the COVID conspiracy theories and all that other shit, I mean, it's not a coincidence that there's more and more fights being canceled right now as the numbers seem to be going up in the public. So there's something to that. There's a connection.
Oh, yeah, I know it is, but it's all the government trying to control. It's not the COVID, Lewis. It's not the COVID, it's just the government. Anyway, leave that there. No, you're right. In fact, it's like old school martial art competitions. You go there, you put into a bracket, and there you go. And whoever you get drawn against, then you go through to the next round, so on and so forth, you get to the final. And like wrestling, you show up at a wrestling tournament, there's 20 people in your class, you know, and whoever you get for, you might get the number one guy. You might get the guy that's going to win the whole tournament in your first match. Well, it fucking sucks for you. You know, you might get the shittest guy. You know, you always want the shittest guy in your first fight. But regardless, you're going to end up fighting everybody eventually. Not everybody, but you know, a good bunch of them. And that's how it is now with the UFC. Certainly not title fights, things like that. But, you know, there's a lot of fights. You need to have that kind of attitude, that kind of fluid attitude where you will accept a short notice opponent. Otherwise, you know, you might find yourself not fighting too frequently.
It's the difference between MMA and boxing, to be honest with you. It's like, you know, boxing, I think the story was that these guys, the first 20, 30 fights, it was sort of padded and they would, you know, have this undefeated record. And then they'd start, you know, facing real guys. In mixed martial arts, it's the best of the best, especially when you get to the UFC level or the Bellator level with the really big league guys. There's no easy fights. So, I think in a weird way, I kind of enjoy it. I kind of like it reminds me of old school UFC. So, yeah. We ended up losing the which is fucking crazy. The Chimaev versus Leon Edwards fight.
Yes, we did.
That's crazy.
We talked about that, though. We talked about that due to COVID as well. There's been some big dropouts lately. Did we not talk about that, Harrington?
No, I don't think we talked about that yet, did we?
Well, yeah, last week we talked about Kimura Crew reporting that Khamzat may have COVID. It turns out that was a false report. Leon Edwards is actually the one who came down with COVID and ruined the bout.
Yeah, then apparently he's got it bad as well. Apparently he's lost like 12 to 15 pounds in the matter of a week. So get well, Leon Edwards. That's just such a fucking shame. That was a great fight. Obviously, the storyline coming into it was fantastic. But again, that's going to be rebooked for January. So get well soon, Leon Edwards. Anyway, back to Marvin Vettori. So he's on a 4-fight win streak. Beat Cesar Ferreira, Andrew Sanchez, Carl Robinson, and then obviously at the weekend, Jack Hermanson. Good fight. High output. Both guys, throwing a lot of stuff. Vettori was just a busier guy. He obviously connected with the harder shots. That left hand, the straight left from the southpaw stance was just money. You know, he was throwing it all the time.
The first, right?
Just letting it go like a piston. And what he was doing a good job was every time Hermanson, and if Hermanson watches this back, this is what I noticed. I was in the garage working out this morning watching it. And Hermanson a lot of time would just throw the lead left or sometimes a left hook, but he would just throw one shot. And Vettori would parry the jab or lean back out the way of the hook and then throw two or three shots, you know, every single time. Two or three shots or two shots, you know, and boom, boom, it was finding his target, you know. Hermanson was guilty just throwing one, the lead one at a time and then getting countered. Of course, in the first round, he dropped him with a beautiful straight left. As I said, the straight left was the money shot. And Vettori, I mean, he's always aggressive. You know, he's an aggressive, wild guy. You know, we talked about it last time we had him on the show. We saw him in the hotel and he was fucking freaking out at someone. The guy is a real fire. He is. Yeah. Vettori is the real deal. He's not an internet tough guy. Of course, he fights in the UFC. But, you know, the guy is the type of guy that will go down in a hotel lobby. You know what I mean? Call it what you will. Call him a psychopath. Call him fucking a real deal, whatever you want to fight him. But that's who you're dealing with.
Oh, dangerous, a criminal, whatever you want to call him.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Mafia, whatever. But still, the guy's the real deal. Do you know what I mean? And he'll fight. And Saturday night, he looked fantastic. In fact, he looked better than ever. He's getting better and better with every fight. And
the fight was actually, this is an interesting fact, the most strikes ever thrown in a middleweight bout.
Yeah.
Which is pretty crazy.
No, both guys, tremendously high output. You know, I think Marvin started to slow down a little bit in the third round, and Jack kind of took that round a little bit there. The fight ended with Hermanson going for a heel hook, just like the way he beat Kelvin Gastelum, but he was able to defend that, you know, effectively, but then the round ended anyway, so it was the end of the fight. But there was no doubt in anybody's mind, I don't think, on the scorecards, who had won that fight. I mean, Hermanson, you know, he got dropped in the first, but he came back, he rallied, you know, he made it an honest fight, you know, and he definitely showed up. But Vettori, you know, I'd say that's by far the biggest win of his career now, certainly the highest profile. Certainly when you win in the main event, a lot of eyes are on you as well. And he wants to fight Israel Adesanya. You know, he had a good fight with Izzy back in the day. I can't remember it in my mind right now, so I'd have to
It was a split. It was a split decision. It was a split, right? Yeah. And Harrington, we were talking about it before the show, so I know you just recently watched that fight again. But yeah, it was a split decision. And what were you saying about Israel?
So Israel talked about this, I want to say, like 3 or 4 months ago, maybe. He said that he admits Vettori probably took that third round in a lot of people's minds, but he thinks there's no question he did enough in those first two rounds to win. You know, but he used that as an example of Vettori hanging on to that one judge's scorecard as the reason why he would never fight him again.
Hold on, the Vettori, or why Adesanya would never fight him again? Well, I think, didn't Adesanya come out and say some quote recently that them two will never meet again? And go on, give me the exact quote.
That was the point that he was making. He said, for somebody like Vettori to hold on to that third round shows that he doesn't have a championship mentality. You know, and in his mind, like, he's looking at it like that was a moral victory for him, whereas most champions wouldn't rest on their laurels that they got one judge to see the fight for them. I don't know. It's Israel Adesanya logic. I can't follow it.
No. Exactly. And I don't follow it too much, but I'm not here to trash Israel Adesanya. He's a tremendous fighter. He's a great guy. But you know, I kind of get Marvin's logic there. At the end of the day, he went to a split decision with Adesanya, probably the closest anyone's come in the UFC to beating him. Adesanya right now is pound for pound one of the best in the world. He's the middleweight champion. He's fighting fucking Blachowicz for the light heavyweight strap. And people are saying that he's fucking going to beat John Jones. And he went to a split decision. So, of course, he's saying, fuck that. I came close to beating him.
It would be stupid for Marvin Vettori to not point out that fact. Yeah, and not only that, it wasn't even like a split decision. If he won the third round, and even Israel admits that, you go, oh, shit. Well, I mean, technically, he was taking over. Technically, if it was a couple more rounds, he might have been able to win that fight. So who knows? Look, Israel, he's in his own, you know, he does his own thing and he sort of has his own logic. And I like Israel sort of like,
he's awesome. He's
great.
He's a lot of fun to follow on social media. That's what I just noticed the other day. Cause he posted 4 million. So I looked at his, he's hit 4 million followers. So he's definitely a big, big star, you know, and he's a lot of fun to follow. And of course, anytime, listen, see what I said before about Yoel Romero, you know what I mean? And you were like, oh, you don't like him. Yada, yada, yada. I'm like, no, at the time, it probably appeared like that, but I didn't have a personal issue with him. Right now, Vittori and Adesanya are in the same position. So he's going to talk shit and he's going to say he's out of his mind. He's going to say, oh, he's holding on to that third round. He doesn't have a championship mindset. Of course, you're going to say that because they're fighters and they're all trying to get the same fucking thing. Everybody is trying to get what Adesanya has right now. They're all on him. He has the target on his back. So he can say whatever the fuck he wants to discredit these people because they're all going to try and discredit him. They're all going to say that they think they can beat him. They all say that they're all going to say that he's had easy matchups, yada, yada, yada. Whatever you can say to discredit him when you're the challenger, you will say. But as champ, he's just going to let it be water off a duck's back and, you know, and just kind of laugh it off. You know,
I mean, the last loss on his record was Israel Adesanya, split decision. I mean, that's pretty impressive. Now, Hermanson, obviously the biggest win of his career, but how long can Israel Adesanya ignore him? If he keeps on winning, it's as simple as that. People can talk all the shit they want. He'll never get a title shot. If he puts up 7 victories in a row and he's the number one contender and he's got a split decision with you, you got to fight him.
Correct, but if Adesanya, well, no, and he probably is going to fight him again. I mean, if you look at the middleweight division right now, who else is there? Paulo Costa is out of the equation. He just got embarrassed by Izzy, quite frankly. Mm-hmm. Who else is there? What are the contenders? Because a lot of the contenders are gone. Yoel Romero obviously had his shot, and that sucked. Well, I don't see the rankings in front of me right now. Give me the top 5, please, Harrington.
Well, he ran through it after the fight. Robert Whittaker is the current number one contender. Obviously, Jared Cannonier is above him, Paulo Costa, and then let me look up the fourth person.
Yeah, probably Darren Till. Jared Cannonier just lost. Robert Whittaker was beaten very, very soundly by Adesanya. It's a weird position
for the middleweight division right now. He's almost cleared it out, but without like there being...
But without clearing anything out. You know what I mean? Is that what the fuck? How's he cleared it out? But he has. He has cleared it out. It's just because right now, you know, some of those bigger marquee names, like it used to be Jacare, Rockhold, Chris Weidman, Anderson Silva, me, Yoel Romero, you know, but fucking time.
Middleweight was fucking hot for a minute, doggy. When you got the title, that was the middleweight division was the most competitive it ever was right when you got that title. Because you remember, even when Anderson cleared it out, it stopped being competitive for a little while. It just got fucking wild for a minute.
Yeah, no, it did. But you know, but again, Izzy's just a victim of his own success. Because think about it, Cannonier is a solid contender, but Whittaker just beat Cannonier, and Izzy made chump change. No disrespect to Robert, because I love him, great guy, but he beat Robert very easily. So therefore, that discredits Darren Till, and it discredits Cannonier. Hold on, who just beat Cannonier? Was it Darren? What was it?
It was Whittaker.
Pardon me.
It was Whittaker.
Yeah, and then Whittaker beat Darren Till as well. So them two are both gone. So Whittaker is number one.
And then Whittaker also, didn't he say he doesn't want a title shot right now?
Yeah, he didn't. Yeah, he said he wants to have Christmas and focus on his family for a little bit, which is his prerogative. Good for him. He's a good, solid family man. He's a family man. Shoot him for that. Do you know what I'm saying? So that's why he's going up to light heavyweight and fighting Blachowicz. So for Marvin Vettori, which is, to bring it back to him, obviously he had a big win at the weekend. It's a weird situation, but Marvin Vettori out of nowhere has kind of, evolved and come out of the darkness and the shadows and rising like a phoenix to the quest of fighting Israel Adesanya
again. The dark horse of the division.
And he has the claim to say it was a split decision, motherfucker, which means out of three judges, one of them, 33.3333 recurring percent, thought he won it. So the storyline is there. The storyline is set, but he's going to fight Blachowicz. And if he beats Blachowicz, then he's probably going to stay there.
He probably should, to be honest with you. It's funny because you see them cutting Yoel Romero from 185, and you start to understand it even more. Because Yoel, he's had all these title shots. He's not winning the title, but he can also beat any one of these up-and-coming contenders any given day of the week. So how do you build a star when they're losing to Robert Whittaker and Yoel Romero, two guys who probably aren't going to beat Israel Adesanya for the title?
Yeah, no, I was trying to listen and multitask at the same time, but I'm just texting with Vittori here because I said, yeah, can you do 3:15? We started a little bit late. He said, yeah, for sure. And then I got a text saying, all good, question mark. Feeling like somebody called Brian or Harrington or even Vittori when he sent his email, just there's a breakdown in communication here. I just texted him, are you coming on? And there's no response here. So maybe, you know.
Worst case scenario, we'll get him on for Thursday.
Worst case scenario, He's celebrating his win still, you know, so good for him, rightly so. I mean, you never know. I think he's going to fight Blachowicz. And if he does, and that changes everything. You know, Marvin Vittori, if he was to get one more win, think about this. Oh, no, you couldn't do it. I was going to say, because maybe he could challenge Izzy for the 205 belt without cutting weight, just like he is, and maybe put both belts on the line.
He's also big, dude. He was so big Saturday night.
He was fucking jacked. He's a monster. Marvin Vittori is a big, big middleweight. And let's not forget the grappling side of things, because it did go to the ground a lot of the times. And Jack Hermanson is a very talented grappler. Heel hooked bloody Kelvin Gastelum in no time. You know, he's got
tried to heel hook Vittori as well.
Yeah, no, right he did. Right at the end of the fight. No, but he defended himself well on the ground. He's a very, very good grappler, got good hands. You know, Adesanya is a different kettle of fish altogether, though. He really is. But still, listen, Vittori, man, whatever happened, maybe we'll get him back on Thursday. But congratulations. Tremendous performance, good win. He's on a 4-fight win streak. You know, I think maybe he's not going to get a shot yet, but one more win. He's on a 5-fight win streak. I don't know. You can't deny the man. And then to use the words that Tony Ferguson would say, that he better defend or vacate. If he's going to go up to 205, which is, you can't blame Adesanya for doing that. He's chasing greatness. Wants to take, you know, multiple belts. You know, that's how you really become a fucking legend, you know, and go down as one of the all-time greats. You can't blame him for that. But if I'm Vittori and I win one more and I'm on a 5-fight win streak, but he's off doing money fights and whatnot, it's going to be annoying. So, yeah, there you go.
All right, real quick, we must thank DraftKings for supporting today's show. I mean, obviously, mixed martial arts, the most exciting sport in the world. How can you make it more exciting? I'll tell you how. By getting in on the action, putting your knowledge to the test. DraftKings has such a fun fantasy sports game to play. It is unlike anything else you've experienced while gambling on MMA.
Yeah, and this weekend, obviously, we've got UFC 256. Fantastic fight card. Deiveson Figueiredo. We've got Tony Ferguson on there. Anyway, listen, we're going to talk about that on Thursday. We're going to break down all the fights. But all you got to do is, you know, you got to go to DraftKings, download the app right now, the App Store, DraftKings app, and then you will get a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. If you haven't tried it yet, fantasy MMA is very easy to play. All you got to do is pick 6 fighters, stay under the salary cap, and then you pile up points for advances, takedowns, punches, etc. And there's no better way to put your MMA knowledge to the test than to compete for a shot at millions of dollars all week long. But don't worry. If MMA isn't for you, DraftKings is offering plenty of fantasy contests for all the sports, whatever you're into, that have returned to action. Plus, don't forget about football season every week, where DraftKings has even more money up for grabs every week of the season. Once more, download the DraftKings app right now. Use the promo code BYM. You will get a shot at millions of dollars in prizes throughout the weekend. Use that promo code BYM to get a shot at millions of dollars in prizes. Only at DraftKings. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Give it a shot. You're going to really like that. If you like fighting, you like watching, you like making money, give it a shot. Nothing to lose. All right. Co-main event. Did you watch all Vince?
Unfortunately, I didn't. I was in Atlantic City this weekend doing comedy shows, so I was only able to watch the main event. But talk to us.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Hold on. I did see in one of the text messages that you lost a bunch of cash on that. Is that correct?
Oh, fucking God. $900 in less than 2 hours.
In less than 2 hours? That's less good. You're quite the gambler, Lewis. What were you playing?
I was playing blackjack. I just, look, after this weekend, I'm now officially sober, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Okay. On Monday, I'm losing a bunch of money. And God knows what else of the shenanigans that aren't fit for the podcast you got.
Couple brain cells.
Oh, because I guarantee there's some stories to tell off air. And now on Monday, the old classic, I'm never drinking again.
If somebody comes in on a Monday and says that they are sober, it's because they killed a drifter over the weekend. They did something really bad, and we're not going to talk about the weekend. We're just going to move forward, and now I'm sober. No,
it's fine. I hate the times that, and this hasn't happened in a long time, when you go out and you get so shit-faced, but then you wake up, and you're like, oh, God. What did he do? But you can't remember. And it's this feeling of impending doom, like the police are going to knock on your door any second and be like, Mr. Bisping? Yes.
I might have AIDS.
You know
right
what
now.
You did.
I don't want to get into it, but there's a good chance that I'm HIV positive. Let's move on.
Hey, no, on that note, this just came to my mind. This is an embarrassing story for me, but it's pretty funny. While we wait for Marvin Vittori, if he comes. On that same note, what I'm saying is, when you go out, you drink too much. When I first just got with Rebecca, we went out and we went to a family wedding on her side, right? Family, very nice and respectable. They're not like the Bispings, you know what I mean? And we went down.
Everyone's flossing their teeth in Rebecca's house. No,
they're flossers for the max. And we go down and we're staying at Rebecca's nan's house, her grandma and her uncle Chris. And they're very, very nice. Like, the Bispings are a loud bunch, you know? Her side, they're very quiet. Well, they're not very quiet. They're just normal volume.
I met her parents. They were the sweetest people in the world.
They're fantastic. They're the nicest people in the world. They really are. Anyway, so we go down there and we stay. And it was her cousin's wedding. I'm at the wedding and, you know, everyone's drinking. And I was doing great. But by the end of it, I don't know what happened. I drank too much. And we're walking down this country lane. It's absolutely pitch black. And something got into me. And then, you know how it is. You drink too much. And then, you know, you're getting upset over nothing, you know. And I'm like, ugh. And I throw my phone into this field. But whatever, over a bush, I just, I'm stressed out. Throw my phone into the darkness. My own phone into the field.
I have this exact story, by the way. Continue.
And then I start, like, you know, we get in the car and I'm getting a bit teary because I'm hammered. I'm hammered drunk, right? So I'm crying in the back of the car.
Oh, no,
and
you're like crying.
Thinking, oh my God, what is he doing? And then I fall asleep on her Uncle Chris. And I'm snoring my head and I'm snorting and everything. And I've made a fool out of myself. And then I wake up the next morning. Wake up. I'm in, like, the spare guest room at her nan's house. And I'm in bed with Beck. And I wake up. I'm like, hold on. Did something happen last night? Because I'd blacked out. I couldn't remember a thing. She's like, and God bless Rebecca. She's a sweetheart. She's like, no, nothing happened. I'm like, really? Yeah, nothing. I'm like, oh God, thank God. Anyway, she starts getting up and get dressed. I'm led there and I'm thinking, I'm like, hold on a minute. Are you sure nothing happened last night? And she's like, yeah, Michael, nothing happened. All good. I'm like, oh God, thank God for that. Anyway, Beck gets in the shower and I'm led there and I just go, for fuck's sake, because it all just came back to me. She's like, what? I said, you said nothing happened. It all came back anyway. So then I had to do the walk of shame. I had to go downstairs and they're all sitting there around the kitchen table. They're eating tea and toast and, you know, very civilized. And I'm going to walk in. Oh God. Anyway, then Graham, my dad's like, Mike, do you want to come with me? We'll go to that field. See if we can find your phone. So we have to go back, and there's Beck's dad, her Rebecca's uncle, Rebecca and me, all of us in a field on a Sunday morning walking around trying to, hey, fair play to her dad. He fucking found it.
He found it.
He was in the military. He said, I counted the steps back to where you threw it to where you parked the car. So I parked at the same spot and then I walked back. And then we went in the field there and we found the phone. But anyway, who gives a shit? There is Marvin, the dream Vittori. Marvin, we just chatted about you for a long time. But it looks like Lewis said that he might have caught AIDS at the weekend. Your face looks like you've got some kind of disease. I think Jack Romanson, did he have long fingernails or something, did he, buddy?
I don't know, man. I even checked his fingernails. They looked fine to me, but I guess something went wrong. You can't really tell from the fight. Now I watched the fight a few times, and all of a sudden you see scratches, and then more. I'm like, where the hell are they coming from?
Yeah.
So I don't know, man.
Well, listen, anyway, either way, congrats. Scrapes, black eyes, whatever it was, tremendous victory. We just spent a while talking about it. But from your perspective, tell us about the fight. How did you feel? What was your perspective, your takeaways? The floor is yours.
Yeah, no, man. I know I was superior on the boxing. I had the better skills in terms of like eyes and seeing the punches. And in fact, there was really comfortable the first round going in. So I dropped him. I actually saw it again now. And I think I did not put him out in the sense that I took his light off. I think it was one of those punches that were really painful. You know, one like because I really caught him right by the eye socket. And it's one of those punches that cuts you almost in the eye that they're painful. And and the flurry of the combination, he almost preferred to go down than to stay in there, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's why it was hard for me to put on more punches the moment I got him out. Because the moment I got on top of him, he was already on, watching through the guard. But anyway, first round was all me, and then he managed to stay alive. And he had a very active guard. And then the second round, I think I went into it a little bit greedy because I was still thinking, I dropped him. His chin is not, it's not 100%. I want to crack him for good and put him to sleep. But, and I kind of thought, because from his previous fight, I kind of thought that he came into the second round with the last kind of flurry. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to let him burn out and then take over again. But he actually stayed steady and actually kept a good pace throughout the whole fight, even after. And I slowly realized that, you know, there was no last flurry. There was, you know, there was like just a flurry. And then he went for the wrestling. I turned him around and I got that round pretty clearly too, because I outclassed him in wrestling. And then the third one, he tried to hit his momentum in the fight. And, I went back. I took a few steps back throughout in the cage, and I slipped a lot of the punches, but I took some. But that's where he was trying to kind of take over the fight in a sense, get the momentum swinging for himself. And then fourth and fifth, I realized that, and I'm like, man, there's no way I'm gonna let it slip from my hand like this, and I'm gonna retake this fight completely in my hand. And I did, and I went out strong, and I did not give up any space. And I was like, you know, if we got to go punch for punch, I'm going to do that. And, you know, I took fourth and fifth pretty clearly and beat him up, basically, and got the fight.
Yeah, I don't think there was any, you know, everybody knew you won that fight. When it went to the judges, you were clearly the winner. You mentioned there when you hit him in the first round and, you know, you could tell that he was hurt. Do you think that was the, you know, when you dropped him in the first round, you think that was the shot that broke his orbital? Because it's reported now he's got a fractured orbital.
Yeah, I don't know, maybe, but I saw my cross landing over and over there. So maybe that was the start. And then throughout the fight, I broke it more significantly. Well, that's a hard word to say.
So, I mean, look, I mean, fight of the night performance, you guys broke the middleweight record for the most output in a fight. What do you, I mean, do you prefer a fight like to go that, you know, that difficult of a fight because it's so memorable, or would you have preferred it to be a quicker night?
Well, you know, like right after, like even I said in my interview, I didn't feel too happy because I felt like I could have put him out completely and finished the fight. But then realizing the fight, he really wanted this win, man. He really came in with a strong will to go out victorious, and he really fought hard to stay in the fight because I was clearly better, but he really dig deep to stay in there. And and in a sense, you know, going five rounds, it's a big experience for me. And then, and to prove to myself that I, to be honest, more than everything, I never seen almost nobody in the history putting up that pace on a fifth round and like being big guys like this, you know, like the fifth round, the pace I put on was insane. Like I was, and even like the twitching that I had on my footwork and on my hands was just like fresh. I'm like, and you know, it just means that when I'm ready, if if with my mind I can, you know, I can just dig deep, I have it, and it's good. It's a good experience, and I know I'm gonna improve a lot from this.
I mean, well, how do you compare yourself compared to the last, you know, you fought Israel Adesanya, split decision. Obviously, people are going to bring that up. How do you compare yourself as a fighter today versus yourself as a fighter when you fought Israel?
Oh, man, I'm it's like, it's just two different guys. It's like the bigger brother talking to his younger brother, to the youngest brother of the family. You know, it's kind of like, yeah, little boy, you'll be good one day, but for now, just keep working hard, you know. And now it's kind of like that. Like now I would like big brother, big time. That little boy back then, and you know, I'm so much improved under every aspect, you know. Like, and I have such a different reading of the fight, and such a different like even I know myself much better, you know, and. Like different knowledge of the game in general. And
I
can't wait.
I wanted to ask you about that, which kind of relates to what you're saying there. I think it was either the end of the second round or the end of the third round. Rafael Cordeiro, he said, I think it was control your emotions. It might've been control your emotions or control your head or whatever. And then, you know, Trevor Whitman, he comes on, he talks about the cornering and things like that. Because for me, as I was getting older in my fight career, it was all about controlling this. You know, I had the physical ability, but my mind wasn't there. You know, I would lose my temper and I would fight on emotion and get angry and just fucking and try and kill everybody. You know, so is that something that you've worked hard on with Rafael Cordeiro, the mental approach? And is that partly what you're saying is... the reason why you've got better compared to like when you first fought Israel?
Yeah, well, I think in a sense, you know, even losing your temper, it's kind of like in a sense, just like kind of like giving your opponent a chance, and kind of even though sometimes it goes right and maybe like you win that fight, but losing your temper in a sense. It's kind of like looking for a way out of that fight. He's still kind of looking for a way out. It's where like your mind can stay on that moment and see things clearly anymore. And you're just like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm just going to give it. And I'm just going to go out there and go punch, like, you know, like make it a brawl or whatever. Like, and, but he's still like, kind of like a break of your concentration on the fight, I feel like. And so I work hard not to do that. You know, it's like, you know, if, at this level, you cannot let that happen, and if he does, you got to catch yourself and you know, regather like your mind and put it in the right place. I feel like, but of course, like sometimes it's not easy. But yeah, definitely, like I try to stay calm and collected. To be honest, man, like I heard a lot of like of the commentary too, and I feel like a lot of these guys haven't watched. My like they watched the Adesanya fight maybe, and they watched my last fight. That's it. But they haven't watched the fight with Cesar Ferreira. They haven't watched the fight with Andrew Sanchez. Like I'm not a stupid fighter. You like I have the highest rate of defense in the middleweight division, and I can dominate guys. And you'll never see me like I never get like in stupid position. You'll never see me. Getting control or anything, like that's not the mark of a stupid fighter at all. Like
it's not
that I go out and like make it a brawl and like these guys they were talking kind of like I'm a madman. Like, I'm intense, but I'm not like a madman, you know.
No, absolutely. And there's a fine line, you know. Yeah, being a madman is one thing. Having intensity, you need that intensity exactly. As a fighter. But as you said, you do have to control it. You mentioned something there about the grappling. Obviously, Jack Hermanson. He's a very good grappler. But I saw you said, he said, people just think I'm a striker. He said, I got really fucking good grappling. And there was a lot of grappling in that fight, you know, and you defended all the positions. You spent a lot of time on top. You were working past guard. You were landing some good ground and pound. How much of a factor was that in the training camp? How much time and effort went towards the ground game?
Yeah, I overall always split my training in pretty evenly throughout my camp in general, like, you know, and like I'll train grappling 3-4 times a week, and my grappling is super high level. Like I'll go to Gracie Barra Norwich with Romulo Barral. Like it's the highest level as you can get. Basically in the gym, I have people like Verdum and Benil Dariush and Neyman Gracie was on my corner. Like, you know, the grappling doesn't really get as much better than that. And that's people on a daily base, you know? So I'm aware of the highest level of grappling that there is out there. And I know if I want to just play anti-jiu-jitsu, there's no way. No, like there's literally no way that somebody will catch me or something.
See, sorry, Lewis, but that's what people don't realize. In Southern California, there's the best grapplers on the planet. You know what I mean? And if you're going to train for a fight, like I was a striker, you're a striker. We favor the striking, but to think that we're not doing the grappling, we're not doing the wrestling, the submission defense, the getting back to the feet, all that shit. If anybody thinks that, they're fucking crazy, you know, because that's our job. We have to be well-rounded.
Yeah.
Of course, you won the fight. And a lot of people, we were just talking about it a second ago, was that you are emerging now as the, you know, you've got to be close to being the next contender for Israel Adesanya. You had that first fight. It was a split decision. You came the closest to beating him. How do you see the situation? How do you see the landscape right now?
Yeah, man, it's good. I feel like the opposition is really weird now at the moment because almost everybody's coming from losses. Unless than Robert Whittaker, and Robert Whittaker is not that motivated, I feel like, to fight Israel. So, you know, I can be right there. I'm definitely super hungry. And I always said, my ultimate goal is definitely the title. So if I can have the, and I've been talking about that rematch with Israel forever. So if that rematch comes together, I'll jump right on it. And settle the score. If not, then the fight for number one contender, whoever it is, I would love to do that too. Like fighting Robert Whittaker would be great. I think I almost kind of see like the ultimate training to beat Israel in a sense, you know. And I would love to fight that. I would love to fight Robert because I think he's the second best in our division at the moment. And, not considering me. I'm the best, but like Robert.
He's third best.
No, I hear what you're saying, other than you.
Yeah. So I'll be liking that. But like, I had in my mind to call somebody out before, but when they asked me, I'm like, I got to give them a name. I'm not going to be that guy to say, oh, I don't know. So I gave them a name and in the top of my head just came up Borachinha because I was like, well, you know, that would be such a fun fight. And in a sense, I think I match up very well with him and I could beat him easily in a sense. But if I have to pick the one that will challenge me the most, will be definitely, obviously, if I cannot get right to the title, Robert Whittaker, you know. So I would like, to be honest, man, like anybody that will put me in the number one contender spot, I will accept right away.
Yeah, because I did see you called up Borachinha after the fight. I was wondering if there was anything that happened between post fight and the press conference. Like,
yeah. No, I'll be honest with it. I'll be honest. Like they told me, oh, listen, Borachinha is coming off a loss. Why would you call out somebody that came out of
that's your team.
Such a brutal loss? Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, interesting.
So, like, yeah, you, and I was like, yeah, you might be right. Why would I? And
I hear what you're saying there. I hear what you're saying, but also at the same time, he was the last guy to challenge for the belt. So yeah, he lost. But if you beat the guy that just challenged for the belt, then obviously that's good for you as well. So yeah, but I understand you want someone that's coming off a victory, and that's, you know, very gracious of you to say so. I want to ask this. Obviously, your face, you know, you look like you've been in a fight at the weekend. What is your approach? Like, I remember I was in Rome after I fought Anderson Silva. I went for a weekend in Rome with my wife, and I was a fucking mess. I had stitches all over my face. I had black eyes galore. And every restaurant I went in, I felt the need to say to the waiters and whoever, or at the hotel, I'm like, hey, by the way, I'm a professional fighter. I'm not a thug. So right now, restaurants are closed. But if you were walking into a fancy restaurant right now and it was all, you know, everyone was dressed nice, would you say, fuck it, and just sit down? Or would you feel the need to explain? Because I was a pussy. I was like, by the way, I'm not a thug. I'm not a crazy man.
No, but you know what, Michael? I feel like they should know us. So
nah, you're right.
They should know us, man. So I'm not gonna say nothing. If they ask, of course I'm gonna say. But at the same time, they should know us, man. In California, I think they're a little bit more open-minded. That there's a lot of fighters and people in America, they don't really care. But yeah, you're right. In Italy, they might have, like, especially Italy, like MMA. It's becoming now, but it's not like a main sport, and you know, unless like. And they're not used to see people all beat up. So, yeah, it makes sense. You're right.
Yeah, well, certainly in Rome.
But no, I normally don't.
Yeah, no, I was staying in a nice place. So I was a bit embarrassed. How is the support? Was there a lot of people back home watching your fight, cheering you on? Because you are now, without a shadow of a doubt, the most successful fighter to ever come out of Italy, MMA-wise. You know, are you getting the recognition in your home country?
Man, I really felt like it's coming together. Italy really came together. Even a lot of politicians shouted out like my name, and yeah, man. Like, well, you know, a lot. DAZN is what like it is the one that is broadcasting soccer in Italy now, and DAZN really came together. Like, was behind me for the Italian scene, so. Yeah, man, it's the first time I feel this kind of support for sure.
Yeah, how is the Italian scene? Is it super competitive?
But what, in MMA or soccer?
In MMA.
Soccer,
oh,
in MMA. Bro, come on. Yeah. He knows nothing about football, Marvin, come on.
Okay.
Neither do I. I know not much about football, but still. I think he was talking to MMA.
Okay. Man, sorry, the thing about the battery came out. Yeah, the MMA scene in Italy. So there was a moment where there was actually like 3, 4, 5 UFC fighters, but not many of them did well. And I feel like now a few got cut. We have there is another guy that he went through a few up and downs, and he's doing all right. Is Alessio Di Chirico, other than that. It's hard at the moment. I hope there's there's gonna be more coming up.
What was the other guy? He was a middleweight from a few years ago.
Sakara.
Oh, Alessio Sakara. Yeah, of course. Yeah, no, sorry, Sakara, my bad. Yeah. All right, but well, listen, we don't want to take too much of your time. Is what's the rest of the week look like? Are you just gonna be relaxing, taking some time off?
Yeah, I'm gonna relax and maybe do a little bike ride and. And then I'm gonna go back home at the end of the week. No, actually next week, beginning of next week. Stay home for like Christmas and then New Year's Eve, and then come back and get ready for another fight.
Beautiful. One final question. I always end the interviews with this question. You got to choose one. You get to choose one. World championship or world peace? What do you choose?
World champion.
No hesitation.
Hesitation. World peace is a. It's a fraud anyway. Yeah. what Michael chose?
Michael? Well, he never asked me, but if you ask me, come on, Marvin, I'd say world peace, bro.
Obviously.
World peace.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, of course. Politically correct, Michael.
I'm selfless, yeah. All right, listen, Marvin, congrats, man. Really happy for you. Beautiful victory. Great win over a great opponent. And fingers crossed, you know, you'll be maybe challenging Adesanya for down the line pretty soon. But thanks for joining us. We'll do it again real soon.
See you guys.
Appreciate it, brother.
The great Marvin Vittori. The Italian dream. The Italian nightmare, actually. That's what I'm going
to
call him from now on.
Yeah, he should change his name to the Italian nightmare. That'd be a... way better. It just sounds better. The Italian nightmare. He should do. Now he's on a 4-fight win streak and he's challenging for the belt again, maybe pretty soon. Yeah. An official name change in the house.
The Italian dream. Unlimited breadsticks. That's my Italian dream.
Where's that? The Olive Garden.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. All right. Well, listen, thanks to Marvin Vittori for joining us there at the end. I thought he wasn't going to make it. I thought we had a little conflict in scheduling conflicts. But he did. He came through. Great show. Should we wrap this one up and
let's wrap it up
back on Thursday?
Another show coming at you guys on Thursday. Thank you. Sorry we didn't get a second one in last week. It just was impossible with the traveling schedule, unfortunately. But you know, we're back consistent Monday and Thursday nights. Subscribe everywhere. iTunes. Go subscribe on YouTube. Subscribe on Gas Digital for the entire on-demand library. Use that promo code BYM to get a 14-day free trial. And if you guys want to send us any fan mail, we'll do fan questions on Thursday's show. Please shoot us an email, bympod@gmail.com. I think Brian must have a very interesting question because he interrupted the final moment of the show. So what's going on?
I was going to bring it back anyway for a few more minutes. But Brian, do you have something that we need to hear?
Yeah. So about sending questions into the show.
Oh,
there's a couple of things that people need to understand. The guys are not making lists for you, and we're not going to talk shit about Luke Rockhold.
And we're probably not going to give you your Sanibel gloves either.
No, we're not.
We're going to figure out the Sanibel gloves. In fact, I've got a lot of calls to make. No, I'm serious. Don't roll your eyes. No, we are. Listen, Imran doesn't care. He'll give out those gloves. I've just got to make the phone call. I have to talk to him anyway. That will be on the list of things to talk about. Regarding sending questions into bympod@gmail.com. There you go. There's the address. As Brian said, you're right. Don't be sending Brian dick pics. Okay. He likes them, but it distracts him from his work. Okay.
First of all, my hard drive's getting filled up. And also, I cannot play those on the air.
No. And as you said, we're not going to talk shit about Luke Rockhold. Don't ask us for lists. Don't ask us who give us three fighters, the best fighters or whatever.
If you ever ask who's your fantasy fight, kill yourself. If you're alive or dead, if you could fight one person, that question comes in 10 times a day.
At the end of the show, we want something funny, something creative, something out of the box. And if you ask that, and you send that in, we will play it for you. And also, if you bring, make some fan content, we love to see that stuff as well. But either way, we just like the interaction. We appreciate you guys. We like the fan base that we've grown. We know you're very passionate about the show. We're very passionate about the show. As Louis said, sorry about last week missing the Thursday, but my filming schedule was ramping up and it was just a little impossible. But we're back twice a week. And we'll be back Thursday. We're going to get another guest on and we'll do some hammer fisting with Harrington, breaking down UFC 256, the pay-per-view. Until then, look after yourselves. See you on Thursday.